Good morning. It is 9:10 on the dot and time for another edition of Fry Bread Journeys and your host, Chris Crane.
So, CO everybody. Wadoe to Sten Jotty for allowing us to use his song Greasy Fry Bread as our opener. And of course, to our show sponsor, Smilin' Charlie Crane, Native American Fellowship Incorporated, the Cooperative Credit Union here in Coffeyville, and Cherokee Nation. We've kind of got back on track. We're going to have a little change up in September here, too. But two Fry Bread Journey episodes a month, first and third Mondays. And this is our first episode for August. And this morning we have a special guest. And this is somebody I really admire. And I'm so excited you came on. This is District 10 Cherokee Nation Counselor Melvina Shotpouch. So welcome, Counselor.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm excited. Yes. I hope this isn't going to be, this is your first, but I hope it won't be the last time we have you on here.
I hope so.
She and I have been sitting out in the lobby talking about we have a lot of things in common. The county, your District 10 is Delaware. Is it almost all of Delaware?
Most of Delaware, north of Highway 20, which goes through the county. And then I have all that north except for the, then it goes into Ottawa County, south of the Neosho River.
You've got Fairland, Afton,
yes, all that.
Now, do you have any farther south? West Siloam Springs?
With this new district, I've got about 5 miles along the Arkansas state line all the way to West Siloam Springs to 412.
I was going to say, it's like Colcord or something.
Of Colcord.
Okay. But now Jay, though, it's kind of weird. It's almost like you just get the top half of Jay.
Kind of north side of Highway 20, then it turns toward Arkansas, and anything north of there is in my district.
Okay.
So it kind of splits the town in half, and Clifton Hughes, District 9, has the rest of it.
And that used to be Mike Shambaugh's district,
yes,
correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now he's like a special liaison with
the Justice Department.
So after he termed out. But one of the things, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself? I know that you're pretty much a lifelong resident of Delaware County.
Well, I am. I'm the eldest of 9 children, and I've always lived in Delaware County and was raised on my grandfather's allotted land, which we still have. And it's been my grandmother and grandfather raised me. So my language, of course, was Cherokee. I didn't know English when I started school. So I was asked the question, said, how did you learn your language? Well, it should have been, how did you learn English?
Yeah.
Because that was what I had to learn. I always felt like I was born with it. I heard it from day one. And my grandmother was very traditional, cultural, everything. We slept, we ate culturally. So I grew up in the real cultural. And I appreciate that today. But back then, you know, there was a time when being Cherokee wasn't really cool.
No.
But I'm thankful that I know what it was to be, you know, to live it and everything. And so being the oldest of the 9 children, I've always felt like, you know, I've always been a mother and took care of my siblings. But in the time being, we learned a lot of things from, you know, living out in the rural area.
Yeah.
And my first school I went to was a country school called Walker School. And, of course, I didn't know English, and it was kind of rough being, you know, but there was children that I knew that had been in school for a while, so they helped me to get through the day or even just to ask a little simple thing like, can I go get a drink of water, you know. And so they helped me, and then from then on, of course, my grandmother had very little schooling, and she wanted to learn, so every time I brought a book home to read, she was always there wanting to know, you know. We got to where she would read a page and I would read a page, and we learned how to pronounce words.
How amazing.
I mean, so it was, you know, I kind of schooled her and she helped me just to be there, you know.
Yeah,
just,
but she was learning also.
Uh-huh.
That's amazing.
So it was, you know, like I said, she did everything. Well, back then they didn't really have vehicles, and so her and Grandpa always walked, you know. Grandpa went out in the woods and gather wood for the fire, and they had a wood stove, which we still have today, and in the old home place, the wood stove still sits there. And I don't know someday if it'll be taken out or not, but that's kind of...
It's just a tradition.
Traditional. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I know that you've been... You're serving, like you've served over 16 years on the Tribal Council so far.
Yes, when I finish this term, it'll be 20 years. I've had a rest in between years from 91 to 95, and then from 99 till 2007, then from 21 till present.
Yeah, it was like two back-to-back. Mm-hmm, you had a single term, and then you went, you set out a term, and then you went back-to-back. And that's, but I know the district has changed too, because it was different. Wasn't it like started out District 5 or something
that? It had the whole county, and so you had a bigger area. Then they turned it where there was two representatives in each district. So I've seen a lot of changes.
You have.
In 91, when I went on the council, the budget for the tribe was $90 million, and then it seemed a lot, you know, sounded like on, but now it's $6.3 billion.
Yep.
It's a huge and a lot more programs and work to do.
Well, the fact that you're the longest serving council member.
Yes.
I don't think, is there anybody even close?
The only one was probably Sam Ed Bush. I think he's 21 and I'll be 20. As far as female, yes,
I'm your only one. But to me, that just shows your commitment to Cherokee Nation and to your constituency. Mm-hmm. So, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. So let's just go to the commercial real quick, get it out of the way, and then we can visit more when we come back with District 10 Tribal Counselor Melvina Shotpouch.
All right, that's all coming up here as we continue here on the Mighty 690. More Frybread Journeys on the way.
Calvin Wright, Beef Industry News, and coming up, concern over rescinding packers and stockyards rules.
Wildfires burn millions of acres across the country each year. And each year, wildland firefighters battle to contain them, but they can't do it alone. For some communities, it's not a question of if wildfires strike, but when. And a single ember can travel more than 1 mile. As it twists and turns and floats through the air, that single ember can find its way to where you live, and can ignite and destroy your home or your community. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. You can't control where the ember will land, but you can control what happens when it does. You can take action now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. Prepare, protect, prevail. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
USDA considering plans to rescind rules that protect farmers under the Packers and Stockyards Act. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval says safeguards could be eroded for poultry growers and cattle farmers.
America's farmers are troubled by the news that USDA plans to rescind or continue to delay several rules that are designed to benefit farmers and ranchers. The rules help protect farmers from retaliation by large processors. It increases transparency and improves pay systems for contract poultry growers. They make it clear that unfair practices by poultry companies and meat packers will not be tolerated. They also take on poultry tournament pay systems that punish the growers for factors outside their control. Farm Bureau has advocated for a more level playing field. That progress is now at risk. I'm Zippy Duval, President of American Farm Bureau Federation.
Does your business need radio communications facilities? KCD Towers has tower space available. They can meet your needs in Chautauqua, Montgomery, and Labette counties in southeast Kansas, and Osage, Washington, and Nevada counties in northeast Oklahoma with expanded coverage across the area. Tower space for cellular or two-way communications? Let's talk. Call Kevin Potter, 918-336-1001, or go online to BartlesvilleRadio.com and click on Rent Tower Space under the Contact tab. Start your communications outreach today.
Here at Brown Shoe Fit Coffeeville, we have the best selection of athletic shoes in southeast Kansas. We have tons of amazing styles from Hoka, Brooks, OnCloud, and New Balance. Come see all we have to offer at Brown Shoe Fit Coffeeville.
Sunny day today across northeast Oklahoma and southeast Kansas with typical August heat, but a humidity stays manageable. Temperatures at the noon hour near 90, afternoon highs near 96, light southeast winds and dry. Tuesday morning will start in the low 70s, warm up more tomorrow, back up to near 100, and again on Wednesday. Rain chances will be more so slight on Wednesday, but increasing towards Thursday and Friday. A few heavy showers and even thunderstorms by the end of the week. Highs near normal going into the weekend. For the Bob Mills Weather Center, I'm News on 6 meteorologist Station 8.
Roman Chevrolet in Independence has great low interest offers on new Chevrolet vehicles. Right now, you can get 0% interest for 5 years on new Chevy Silverado 1500s. Visit RomanChevrolet.com to see all inventory.
Fry Bread Journeys continues with your host Chris Crane and guest Cherokee Nation District 10 Tribal Counselor Melvina Shotpouch.
Yes. So we were talking about how Cherokee was your first language. Mm-hmm. It was your first language speaker.
Yes.
There's only how many? It's less than 2,000, isn't
it? It's less than 2,000 now. And every now and then we may pick up one or two that's not been, you know, found, but
yeah.
That's not fair. And we're losing. Well, during the COVID, we lost a lot of number, and that was so devastating during that time, you know, just thinking, losing so many.
So, do you have children? Have you taught them?
They understand, but they don't speak fluent like I do,
yeah.
But they do understand, and all of my siblings are speakers.
Oh, that's good.
And there are six of us left. We've lost three, so two during the COVID.
Okay.
And but we try to teach the little ones to speak it, but they sometimes kind of just look at us, but, you know, they don't realize how important it is.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, Cherokee Nation has come a great deal because we have the immersion school.
Oh, yes.
I just saw where that is going to go year-round now.
Yes, it is. They just now passed that.
And I think that's probably a good idea because it's just like, I hate to say this, year-round school, there are things to be said for it, especially something like this language, mm-hmm, when you're trying mm-hmm. to learn this and you need to use it every day.
You need to hear it, and that's the thing.
It.
You need to hear it, and that's what's been on my mind, thinking these children may learn it at school, but when they go home, do they hear it enough
and in
to
the summer,
really keep
summer break.
Summer break? Yes, and now being year-round, that's really going to help. I served on the immersion board for about 8 years, and that was some the things, you know, I thought is key thing is hear it, you know, more.
Well, I mean, it's not, they're still going to go the same amount of days.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to be like
mm-hmm.
180 days mm-hmm. because they're going to have little breaks,
more frequent breaks yes.
Which I think would be kind of a cool, I wonder, you know, maybe other school districts ought to look at, there are other school districts that look at that, but
mm-hmm.
that's kind of a neat deal
mm-hmm.
instead of just having this long stretch.
Oh, yes. Even, you know, kids today needs to have a tendency to not read during the summer,
oh,
and
yeah.
then so they need to.
Yes, exactly. I know that, and then we, Cherokee Nation offers language classes. We've just mm-hmm. gone through about 6 weeks of one over mm-hmm. at Native American Fellowship. Ryan Mackey is the instructor over there, and I think he's doing us on Tuesdays, and he goes over to Tulsa on Thursdays.
Yes, that's very important, I think that's what they're doing that in my area. They're going to have three schools on satellite with a teacher.
Oh, that's good.
Teaching, I can't remember the. I know Jay is one of them that they will have. Wade Blevins will be teaching
okay.
the classes.
Because you can go on, if you go to Cherokee.org, and it has, there's a language, you
mm-hmm.
know, Learn Cherokee, it
mm-hmm.
says, and you can click on it, and you go down there, and there's lots of stuff where you can find information, so anybody can find this. But there's a word list. And sometimes Davis and I've gotten in arguments about how to pronounce certain words. Sometimes neither one of us being fluent
mm-hmm.
speakers, of
mm-hmm.
course, but there are words that I will recognize. And sometimes it has to do with just where you live and
mm-hmm.
how it is. Am
mm-hmm.
I correct in that? That sometimes different.
Oh, the dialects are a little different in different areas, you know, like Stillwell
uh-huh.
versus Jay, or their dialect, just, you know, there's a difference, some things. But even, and you can mess up a word just by just the
yeah.
way you roll your tongue or what, however you want to describe it. And the tense, like the plural or
oh.
the adjectives or something like that, just by one little sound can make the difference of if it's a past tense or is it present or
really?
Future. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, so, yeah.
What do you think is maybe the hardest thing that people have told you if they're trying to learn Cherokee? Obviously, you know, it wasn't necessarily an issue for you, but what do people who are trying to actually pick up the language, what is a challenge about it, maybe?
Well, that's what the challenge is, you know, like, Like, just for instance, I was going to say, squeeze means a lot. Unigordi, that means about the same thing. But it's just a term of how you use mm-hmm. it. You know, you go from one word to another, and then, or even like a, you could say atlisa, donatlisa means there was more than one running. Atlisa means one, then donatlisa, that means more than one. Maybe two was running.
So maybe it's the tense is probably the hardest part mm-hmm. for people to learn. And do you write also?
I don't, but okay. I'm learning.
I think that's what's amazing about mm-hmm. it. It's mm-hmm. the only, I mean, Native American alphabet. The syllabary. So it's pretty impressive. So one of the things I saw, we were talking about this the other day, I saw on Facebook, and I'm just wanting to get your idea on it. There's a lot of people that homeschool their kids. Mm-hmm. So I think it's impressive. This woman had got on there that she wants to learn how to teach her kids mm-hmm. Cherokee, at least to read mm-hmm. and write it. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Cherokee Nation will ever come out with curriculum or something like that that maybe homeschool parents could use? Or
there's some material out there already that they probably could use, or they can go to the clamp school and mm-hmm. Learn, you know, those are the ones that's learning to go out and teach. Maybe take that course. I mean, they're always looking for students. And I don't know if this one's already, session has started yet, but they're always looking for students to go.
To take the master and become mastery in language and you mm-hmm. certify. I think Jesse Grayson, mm-hmm. he runs the Tomahawk and the cornstalk shoot at the games for us mm-hmm. and everything, and he completed the course. So mm-hmm. I think it's important, and I think the reason he did it was because he and his wife did it. Mm-hmm. They want their kids to speak the language
and probably teach them to learn and to read and write mm-hmm. too.
And to continue. And that's mm-hmm. something just to keep the heritage alive. So I also know that you, it was like one of your campaign things. You were very much into, and you still are, wellness centers and housing.
Housing's always been my, seemed like, things that I always wanted to see happening, not in just Maria, everywhere, because, you know, kids, it gives them self-esteem and, you know, to have a nice house, or even to help them, you know, to be able to go to school. A lot of times, you know, school kids, if they don't have a good home or don't have running water or something like that, they just don't have that self-esteem, you know, mm-hmm. to get them going. And I'm so proud with this administration, how they have put, there was a time that there was no house built for about 10 years. But now, since about 2011, there's been tremendous amount of houses being
built. They stepped up. Because when you started, mm-hmm. Wilma Mankiller was chief.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When you began mm-hmm. her terms on the tribal council. Mm-hmm. So you've seen how this works. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I would agree with you on this administration. I think mm-hmm. that the chief and deputy chief and everybody, mm-hmm. The tribal council, you guys have done, you've really faced challenges and head on mm-hmm. and addressed things.
And wellness, you know, we all know what causes, you know, kids today tends to stay in the house. Like when I was growing up, of course, there was no games to play in a house or anything. We had to find our own. But ours was more like running up and down the hill, climbing trees, or finding our own ways to entertain ourselves during mm-hmm. the summer. So we had plenty of, you know, activities to do. But today, kids don't have that. It mm-hmm. seemed like they just, but if they, and I've seen this with the wellness center coming up, I've seen them drive from Jay to Kenwood, so they just can go and work out on the machines and stuff.
Oh, really?
And do things. Yes, it really has helped with the, I think, with the wellness, and then to encourage them to participate in the runs and everything. And my sister and I, well, of course, I walk, and my sisters walk, and we always was glad to go with the, I think it was Nike or somebody had the incentive one time with the Wings Club, that they gave a pair of shoes if you walk 100 miles, you know, and just stuff like that, you know, kind of now with this new wellness center, it's really spiked up. People wanted to go
in Jay.
We don't have one in Jay yet, but they drive to Kenwood to the wellness center.
You do have a clinic in Jay.
Yes, we do. And we've got a walking area there with, you know,
that is something. I mean, mm-hmm. I know we're looking there's...
Well, hopefully that's forthcoming, you know, in the future for J area for wellness center.
Well, I think that's one of the things is public health and wellness grants that are going out. We, you know, a lot of people walking trails and getting the concrete poured because, I mean, that is just real simple stuff that you can do that helps. And we're looking at getting that done over at NAFI. So
we had a walking trail in J built by Cherokee Nation by the school. But when they built the new football field, that's where our walking track was. But I go down to the football field and walk every morning there.
There you go. So another thing that I know about Melvina is she and I are both members of the Indian Women's Pocahontas Club.
Yes.
So big shout out to Monty Ewing, who's president, and Clarice Doyle, who's the executive director, and Ollie Starr, past director. And hello, ladies. But I get tickled. Mata refers to you as the IWPC Fry Bread Queen. And I do not think that is a title that is given lightly. So obviously, you must make some pretty good fry bread.
Well, I try to. And try to make the best I can. And usually, our biggest dinner would be the wall onion dinner in March.
Yes.
And so I'll make the bread for that. And then in the... picnic in
the old-fashioned picnic
so we and any other time they call me to help with other things so I'd go down
and
there
it,
and do
it's like she's not busy enough as a counselor she's gonna
I have
come
never
out and do
counted
this.
How many pounds of flour I've cooked through the years but like tomorrow I'll be making it for the clinic up at Jay but there's always I'm making bread at least once or twice a week for something you
something.
Know somewhere
well But I also know that your family, the Shop Pouch, you have a long history. There's a you have a hog fry, an annual hog fry.
Yes, we have one coming up. It will be our 73rd annual Shop Pouch hog fry.
73 years. Wow.
And we start. My grandparents started years ago. I had twin brothers back in the 50s. You know, twins was kind of a scarce thing, and so they had twin. My twin brothers were born, and they thought that was really. So they just started out having little birthday parties, then it grew, and through the years it just got out of hand, and the family would come and help prepare for the big dinner, and all most of our birthdays are around August or September, so through the years, well, they decided, well, let's do it fourth Sunday of August, just kind of combine all the birthdays, and we've had a lot of people come, even candidates for governor and state senators for federal government. And it's
food's good. People are going to show up.
I think it was Representative Sinar had C-SPAN to come and back in the 90s
oh
and brought him down there, come down there and film it. So it was. I had a friend go with me to the Capitol one day, and I walked in, and one I can't remember who it was now said, "Well, how's Mike Shop Pouch?" And he looked at me and said, "Huh, it must be nice to be recognized." And I thought, "Yeah," I said, "this guy was down at the hog fry."
That's exactly.
So
there you go.
We have, and it's been fun, and people come, and a lot of people use it as a place to meet or the people that used to live around there, or their mom and dad may have come there.
It's a big event.
And if it's kind of homecoming to them to come to it.
How many people would you say you get every year?
Oh, we usually get about 300-400, but we've had up to, if it's election year, we've had probably about 1,000. We start like five hogs.
You got people helping you cook this, don't you? Okay.
But today, with the cost of the feed, years ago, we quit, you know, raising our own hogs, so we just buy our meat from the butcher. So.
Butcher and do it. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So one of the things we were kind of talking beforehand, and I said, well, I'm going to do this and this, and I said, and then you brought up Claremore Hospital. Tell us what's going on.
Oh, the groundbreaking for the new building will be August the 18th at 11 o'clock.
Okay, that's Tuesday.
So we're excited about that, moving on with this.
And that's going to be out past the Lowe's. Past the Lowe's in Claremore is where they're going to be building this new hospital. So at 11 o'clock on the 18th. I know a lot of people will probably be there. This is something that's really needed. Very needed. So we're getting close here. I'm going to make a few announcements. August 11th, which is a Tuesday, there's going to be a photo ID and tribal registration opportunity at Will Rogers Downs in Claremore from 3 to 7 p.m. And I'd say this every time, get there before 6:30 because they're ready to start packing it up and kind of putting everything away at then. And then Cherokee Nation Bridges to Hope program is taking applications for classes that are going to start this month in August. The program is giving eligible Cherokee citizens the opportunity and resources to build financial stability for themselves. The classes take place in Adair, Cherokee, Mays, Rogers, Sequoia, and Tulsa counties. The requirements are that you have to be 18 years old, a Cherokee Nation citizen, meet the income guidelines, and reside within the boundaries of the reservation. You can call Cherokee Nation Commerce Services at 918-453-5536 or email them at bridges@cherokee.org for more information to get an application. And I want to take this opportunity to give a shout out to KGGF. Second time in 3 years in a row, Kansas Broadcasters Association, your Station of the Year, the Excellence, Station Excellence Award. James, yeah. Really, really proud.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I'll
give a shout out to you for the diversity and inclusion category.
Yes, we're very happy. We won this a couple years ago, first and now second place, and we're very excited about it. You also got for some different programming categories also. Mm-hmm. I remember one of them was an open line. I think the open line.
Yeah, it was a morning show. We had news, newscast.
There was a spot news thing. Mm-hmm. That old Shay, who's no longer here.
Yeah, he was in
part
of that.
Yeah, there was. But
technically, he was the interviewee, but I'll give it to him.
Okay.
But no, it was good because
he just had a birthday the other day.
He did. Yeah. You have to remember, we're going up against stations.
Yes.
And a lot bigger in like Salina, Manhattan, Lawrence.
Area, Emporia. I mean, Coffeyville is a small town of less than 9,000 people, but this is in the media, and you'd think, okay, KGGF should be small market. It's medium market.
It goes by county population.
Yes.
That's what they look at.
The county populations. And the reach you guys have here, it goes all the way down, like Muldrow, Borum, or whatever, and over to Springfield, mm-hmm. Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. Wichita up north, so it covers a lot of area. A lot of people are listening to you right now, Malvina. So, and we were telling her during break that we get phone calls in. So it's kind of really good, and it's good to be recognized. So we also want to talk about the August giveaway. I've already posted it. It is a children's book called Fry Bread, a Native American's Family Story, by Kevin Noble Maillard and illustrated by Juana Martinez Neal. I have a copy. I did this a long time ago, maybe a couple of years ago, and the book had just come out, and it's like a picture book for 2 to 6 year olds, and it won a Indian Youth Literature Prize for picture books. And you need to go to the Fry Bread Journeys page. You find the post, you like the post, follow us, comment with a picture, emoji of any kind of bread, because I wish they did, but they don't have on Facebook a fry bread emoji, and then share the post to your Facebook page. And we are over, when I typed this up, I said 871 followers. We're at almost 900. So I would love to hit 1,000 followers by the end of August. And we're going to draw the winner's name on the August 17th show. And before I had posted the picture of you as being the guest, I planned on District 11 Tribal Counselor Kendra McGady being here on August 17th. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Kendra yesterday, and she's not going to be able to make the 17th. We're going to switch things around in September. And so she'll be here on September 21st, and then we're going to go back-to-back weeks, September 21st and September 28th for the September Fry Bread Journeys. And I do know our September 28th guest will be J.D. Kendall from Pendleton, Oregon, who's been on here before. But I want to thank you for coming on here today. And we always do this. We give our... I know, I'm
you
really...
You got a Brahms bag.
A Brahms bag. It's not
burger.
Brahms.
Brahms burger.
It's heavy. There is one of Charlie. Even though you're a fry bread queen, Charlie is a banana bread king there.
Oh, thank you.
And then we
you.
Got you a
thank
Fry you. Bread Journey shirt and a koozie.
Oh, thank you
And
so
thank
much.
You for coming on.
Can I?
Yes.
One thing I forgot.
You
we talked
right
about
ahead.
The Wellness Center.
Yes.
They're doing the ribbon cutting tomorrow for the Marcoma Wellness Center in Tahlequah at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock tomorrow. The Wellness Center. I did see that. I should have said something about that. Had that on my list. But thank you. Uh-huh. Malvina, I really appreciate you coming on. I mean, we just do a half hour, but We got a lot of information packed in there.
I have one more question for the fry bread queen. I mean, what is the secret? You know, how do you? Is there a secret to doing this?
The only thing is, when you work the flour, try to work as least flour as you can that makes it fluffy. Put too much flour, then you have a heavy bread.
What have I said?
I
cook a bunch of fry bread for Indian education for Coffeeville schools, and that's what you just. I said, don't work this too much. You cannot. If you need it, it's going to be tough, and it's not going to fluff up for you.
Right.
So, good. Yeah. I feel vindicated. So, well, again, thank you. And let me get in here and thank our sponsors real quick. Smile and Charlie Crane, Native American Fellowship Incorporated, whose mission is to support our Native American community by strengthening their identity through culture, education, and social services in our area. The Cooperative Credit Union, located at 313 West 9th Street, they've been an active and vital part of the Coffeyville community since 1937. They welcome everyone to join and become a member because CCU is where you belong. And finally, Cherokee Nation. With more than 470,000 citizens, Cherokee Nation is the largest federally recognized tribe in the United States. They are committed to protecting our inherent sovereignty, preserving and promoting Cherokee culture, language, values, and improving the quality of life for the next seven generations of Cherokee citizens. So tune in, 9:10 a.m., Monday, August 17th. James and I will probably just have all sorts of stuff. And who knows, we may have another guest. I don't know.
Stay tuned.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, ladies, a pleasure as always. And we have more coming up here as we get back into open line. And, of course, tune in a couple weeks for more Fry Bread Journey.
SEK Media, your home for Red Raven.